Okay, so last time we discussed what the chiyuv is, and we said that pretty much meiser, taking off meiser ksafim, is only a minig. And therefore it's not a halacha that you have to do it. It's a nice minig to adopt. Okay, if everybody in your place has that minig and they're machayiv you to do it, then it could be that you're chayiv to do it because of minig amakom. If you've accepted already, it could be you're chayiv to do it because of a nether. Like any minig that you accept to do. You do something three times, or you accept to do it, and a nether is min haTorah. But if you haven't accepted to do it, right, or you did it because you thought you had to do it, even if you've done it, you did it by mistake, you thought you had to do it, then it doesn't become a minig, it doesn't become a nether, and you still have the option. Therefore, because of that, somebody who can easily take off ma'aser, and we'll see the best way to do it, just take it off the top of your earnings, well, that we'll get to how to exactly take off ma'aser, how to make the cheshbon, what has to come off of. But somebody who can take ma'aser of his earnings off the top, right? Let's say an easy situation. The only earnings you have is from babysitting. Right? You're a teenager, whatever. You make money from babysitting. You get paid, $50 shekel a week for babysitting. The best thing is take off 5 shekel and put it away in a separate account for ma'aser, and use it only for the things that we'll learn later that you're allowed to use ma'aser for. However, if you don't have the means to do that, you're not a babysitter and making extra allowance money, but you're running a household, and you don't have enough money to make ends meet, so it's very difficult to take 10% off the top. So then, if you haven't, again, accepted upon yourself to make ma'aser ksafim, knowing that you didn't have to do it. Okay, if you did, then you need hataras nedarim before you can do what I'm telling you. But if you have not yet accepted upon yourself to take off ma'aser, or you did thinking that you had to, then you can do what I'm going to tell you. And it's difficult for you to take 10% off the top of your earnings. Right, because you can't make ends meet without the 10%, surely with only 90% of your earnings. So then, in really bad situations, you can keep a record of the ma'aser you should have given. And if you ever become rich and win the lottery, b'li nether, you'll pay it back. Okay, that's one possibility. There's another possibility. And this is what I tell people to do if they're really in a strait where they can afford something but not the whole thing. They should take 10% off the top of their income. Put it in a separate account. Okay, have a separate bank account for your ma'aser. And from that 10%, you can use the following. Half of it you can use for mitzvahs. Even though we'll see that real strict ma'aser, or maybe you can't use for that, but there are many reasons why there are leniencies to yes use it. We're not going to get to them now. When we get to what you can use ma'aser for, we'll explain what they mean. But take my word for it, there are leniencies. Okay. So half of it used for mitzvahs, like buying matzahs, buying esrog and lulav, things that you would do anyway, and it would have to come out of your regular account. This way it's coming out of your ma'aser account. 5% you can use for that. The other 5% you should use for regular, what ma'aser is allowed to be used for, lechatchila, which again we'll get to. And if that's difficult to do, then borrow that 5% for yourself, keep a record of it, and if you ever become rich, you'll pay it back. Okay, so that way, the 5% you're using for things that anyway you probably would have bought, right? Because of mitzvahs, okay? So that saves you money from things that you would have to use for whatever. And the other 5%, if you can give it, you're only giving mamish 5%, much easier to do. And if you can't, you can borrow that money. But you've separated 10%. So that is, a dera that I learned from my rebbeim that for people who it's difficult to take off 10% and use it only for the things that you can use ma'aser for, which again we'll get to, this makes it a little bit easier. And the reasons behind it, I won't explain to you until we finish the whole thing, and then we'll go back and I'll explain to you why this is okay. why is a bidyevit it's okay, based on the things that we've learned. But first we have to learn them, and then we finish the whole thing, then you'll understand in the context of what we learn why there are these leniencies. Okay. So now we go to how much you're supposed to take off. Okay. Taking off a tenth, okay, a person who is an average person, the minig, again, the minig, so we're going to deal with it as a minig, the minig is to take off one tenth, okay. If you want to be machmir and be more generous, then there's an inner of taking off one fifth, two tenths, okay, chomish, okay. A person who takes off miser, in other words, calculates the tenth or the fifth from his earnings, and doesn't just give stam tzedakah. Again, since a minig, people don't have to take off miser. So a person can say, well, I'm not going to make the calculation of miser, but I'm going to give tzedakah, and I'd probably give much more than a tenth, right, tzedakah-wise. It's very nice, but it's better to make the calculations and take it off as miser than stam to give tzedakah, even if in the end you would end up giving more tzedakah. Because there's a special inyan of miser. Even though it's not a halacha, there's a special inyan to give one-tenth or one-fifth, but to do it by calculation. Okay. Okay, there are times when you have to take off a fifth. Right, one of those situations is if you know in the place where you live, your city, not in the world, but in your city, okay, and your city means your city, Moshav Matityahu, there are people who pashut don't have what to eat or what to wear. Okay, there are definitely people who look like they don't have what to wear, but in any case, that's not because they're poor. But Matityahu, there's nobody here, and Dr. Nauman, I think, will, what's it called, from the Vat Sadaka, back me up. There's nobody here who doesn't have what to wear. Okay, everybody has, they can go to the Gemach, what's it called, clothing Gemach, and get what to wear. And nobody here is starving. Okay? People may have a hard time paying their bills or whatever, but nobody's mom is starving for food and walking around fasting for days because they couldn't find any food. That doesn't exist.
The clothing Gemach doesn't exist.
Okay, but whatever. Either way, people have what to wear. Right? Nobody is in those kind of dire straits. If what's it called? If there you have in your city people like that, and then you have to take a fifth and give it. But if you don't have people like that, right? Things are people are needy people, but not to that degree. You're not mechuyev to give a fifth, even not a minute. Okay. How about more than a fifth? Okay, so that's, you could give average a tenth, and you fulfill this minute. If you give a fifth, that's extra special. Okay? People who are having a hard time getting along should not give more than a tenth. Don't be a tzaddik, you know, because the idea of not giving more than a fifth is because you're afraid that you'll end up not having enough money for yourself. You're a regular person, you give a 20% of your income, I could make it, that you won't be able to make it yourself. And then a few things will be bad. First of all, you come first when it comes to tzedakah more than other people. So if you need the money, keep it. Secondly, it's going to be like a chilul Hashem. People are going to say, you see, this person gives so much tzedakah, and look at it. Look what happens to him. Can't live himself because of his tzedakah. Okay? And it'll also be a reason why in the future you won't want to give tzedakah. So I have mevazbeis. If you give more than a fifth, it's called mevazbeis. It's like wasting the money because it's going to lead to negative things. So more than a fifth is not, and therefore people who really can't afford to give a fifth, right, with all of their skulas and haftachas and aser to asers, right, lemaisa, you can have bitachen, but not most people are not on that madrega, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get the money back, right? At least not maybe in this world or not in the way you think, and therefore do what you have to or what's normal, and don't try to do extra when it may be counterproductive. Now, how about a more than a fifth? More than a fifth, Chazal say you shouldn't give more than a fifth. Because for most people, giving more than 20% is already going to make it difficult for them to live properly. So what are the exceptions to that? One exception is if giving more than a fifth is going to save somebody's life. Pikuach nefesh. In cases of pikuach nefesh, you can make yourself, even though you normally come first, but somebody else's life comes before your comfort. So therefore, you're allowed to take more than a fifth to save somebody else's life. Okay? Pikuach nefesh could mean to donate the money for somebody who's sick, needs an operation, something like that. Secondly, where there are aniyim who are coming to your door and they need immediate help, okay? Then if you've already given your miser or given your fifth, but there's still people putting out their hand, then you should give even though now you're giving over that fifth. Secondly, unless by giving them you're not going to have bechlal. Right. But then you're allowed to give more than a fifth if it's not immediately something that's going to make you not be able to. You need that tzedakah. You don't need the tzedakah, but Chazal said more than a fifth is a dangerous thing to do. Here, if there are aniyim asking and you already gave your fifth, you're allowed to give more.
Normally, someone should calculate that which just gives off when people come to the door and on the street into that fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you should give that from the fifth that he took off, if he's taking off a fifth, so the people come to the door. Yeah. Next case, a person is extremely rich. Right? A person has millions of dollars, right? So taking off 20% is not going to make him poor. Right? He's still going to be a millionaire. So then he's allowed to take more than a fifth. If he makes let's go back to the babysitter, right? She makes 50 shekel a week. She doesn't need to live on it. Just has enough for her allowance. Somebody like that, right, is not going to go into dire straits if she takes off 10 shekel or she takes off 5 shekel, right? So those kind of cases where you're making a little bit anyway, so the difference between the 10th and the 5th is not that great, and the money is not necessarily, your entire dependency on whatever, then you can take off more than a fifth too. Another exemption is to be machzik Torah, to support people learning Torah. You're allowed to take off more than a fifth if the money's earmarked for that. Again, with the understanding that you're not going to become needy for tzedakah, right? And another exception is somebody who wastes money or spends on luxuries anyway, right? More than that amount that he would take off for the fifth. So instead of, you're not just living on this, and this is taking away from your livelihood. This is taking away from your luxuries. So you're allowed to take away from your luxuries to what's it called to, and what's luxuries? We've discussed in the past in a different context. Everybody, what's considered a luxury and what's considered a necessity is different things. For some people, what to another person is a luxury, for him is a necessity because he got used to it or whatever. And for other people, what to some people is a necessity, for them is a luxury. So, but if you're spending already on luxuries, you can give more than a fifth to take away from your luxuries, not from your ikar parnasa. Another exception. Before a person dies, he's allowed to give away as much money as he wants. However, it's not a good idea to give all his money away if he has heirs and to deprive them of a Yerusha. Okay. But he's allowed to give more than a fifth in that situation. Okay. Pidyon Shvuyim is another mitzvah that you can give more than a fifth. What's called pidyon shvuyim? It's a big machlokas here. But the normal case of pidyon shvuyim was in the time of Chazal. They used to capture people and ransom them, right? That was the purpose of capturing them, to get the ransom money. They weren't interested in killing them, right? Or they sold them as slaves. So it was a mitzvah there to ransom these people instead of leaving them to live a life of slavery. Okay. Today we don't have that kind of ransom, right? People kidnap people or whatever, and could be they'll kill them if they don't pay the money. It's a different story. Then it wasn't necessarily pikuach nefesh. Today it's a matter of pikuach nefesh. There are halachas of how much you can pay to ransom somebody. Could be they don't apply when there's a child of life or death. That's a different, that's not the usual. What could be considered pidyon shvuyim? So somebody's in jail, and you want to ransom him out of jail. You can pay his bail or pay somebody, bribe them to get him out of jail, okay? Or pay for a good lawyer or something like that to get him out of jail. So some people hold that if you're in a jail, in a place where it's not just, where people just lock you in jail, like in Russia, what's it called, used to be, or in South American countries, right, you can just be held, you know, for no reason, then that for sure is called pidyon shvuyim. Saving a Jew from an unlawful prison is pidyon shvuyim. But how about somebody's in prison because he stole, because he cheated on his income tax? So he's in prison because the laws of the land say he should be in prison. He's not wrongly or whatever, he's there because that's the laws of the land. Then some hold that's not pidyon shvuyim. Just the opposite. You shouldn't try to get a person like that out, because then other people encourage other people to do things wrong. It'll be a chilul Hashem too. So there's a thin line between, like, sometimes even in a law-abiding country, they do things that are get people into prison which they don't deserve to be there, or not deserve to be there as long as they are, like Pollard or like what's his name, Lubushkin or whatever. Right, according to the publicity we see, at least. So then it could be that that's the borderline, even in a law-abiding country, it's an Indian to give money to get these people out of it, since even in a law-abiding place, sometimes they distort the law. Okay. Where else? Okay, there is a skula that the more nicer you give, in other words, if you give a fifth, what's it called, you get more of a bracha than if you only give a tenth. And it's not stam a bracha of giving more tzedakah, it's a bracha of more, bracha of meiser. You gave more meiser. Not, okay. Okay. What else? Oh. So the best, eitzah, when it comes to taking off meiser, since we said that stam giving tzedakah, even if in the end, in the year, you give more than a tenth by giving stam tzedakah, right? It's still better to take off a tenth. You want to give more, you give more too, right? Between the tenth and the fifth or whatever. But it's good to calculate the tenth. There's a special skula in the tenth. And the best way to do that is to have a separate account. That way, whatever you make, you take immediately off the top and put it in the other account. Why is that better? Because once it's not your money anymore, now it's in a Meiser account, it's much easier to give it out than when it's part of your bank account and you feel like you're giving your thing. Tells us Shiva says that's why when Meiser Behema, what do? You count 9 animals. You can't just go into your thing and say, well, I have 500 animals, I'm taking 50 off. You have to make them go in a line under a rod or whatever, and hit each one, and you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 meiser, and you paint it red, put it on the side, meiser behema. So why don't you do that? Why don't you just count up all your animals and take off a tenth? We have to do it in this lengthy way. So he says because it's much easier to do like that. Why? Because you say 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 5 for me, 6 for me, 7 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me, and 1, you know, I can part with that 1. Once you see what's yours and what's not yours, it's much easier. If everything you think is yours all together, it's hard to take that money out of the bank or out of the account and write the check for the stalker. But if it's already, you take it off the top, right? So you never saw it. So it wasn't in your account. So now it's a separate account. It's much easier to take the tzedakah money out of that account than taking out of your own account, psychologically speaking, even though it's the same amount.
Less?
Yeah.
Is there any kind of time limit? Or
yeah, we'll get to that. Oh. Yeah, there's a time limit. And therefore, there's an idea, just like by Meiser, of separating it and then giving it. Giving it immediately. Right? But first you separate it, right? Then you have a separate Meiser account, and then you give it from that account. It's also a separate thing of the separation itself is a mitzvah.
Is a fifth just a maximum of Meiser, or is it really like two-tenths?
No, it's two-tenths. What do you mean?
Meaning is that because I heard sometime over the years that there's any of Meiser. Meiser is always the tenth. If you give more, so that's tucker. That's not really Meiser.
Right.
So therefore,
if you give it as another tenth, right? Then that's what we said before, that the schar for giving two tenths is not just the schar giving more tzedakah. It's mamish being marbe b'maisers. You're giving more than one Meiser. You're giving two Meisers. And that you have the skula of an extra Meiser, not just extra money.
So therefore, one should do it in two pulos and take off a tenth twice?
Love dafka, because it's taking off a fifth, it's taking off two tenths. And if you take it, calculation the fifth, you're basically taking two tenths. That's what a fifth is. You have to do it save two separate parts. Right. Okay, all of this, it's good to do b'li neder. Since it's not a chiyuv, and it's a minig, okay? Whatever you do, you should do it b'li neder, so it doesn't become a chiyuv, and then you're have tzoros if you can't do it, or you don't do it properly, or whatever. If you do it b'li neder, so you're doing a nice thing, and if you can do it, you can do it, and if you don't do it 100% properly, you haven't done anything terribly wrong, you just haven't done what's right. But if you make this a neder, right, you do it without saying b'li neder, and you do it without any intention of only doing it once. You intend to do it regularly, or you do it three times, and you didn't even have a mind that you're not going to do it regularly, but you did it already three times. Then it becomes mamish like a nether. And if you don't do it, then you're over on a nether. That's even worse. So better when you ever decide how you're going to take off your mice, you should say beferish, I'm doing this from now on only b'li nether. Okay.
Just to say that once?
What? We'll have to say it once for the future, yeah. Okay, with these things, let's say you didn't do that. Okay? You didn't do that, but you made Hataras Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah. Then that can help for this now. In other words, if you never said b'li neder to begin with, but you made Hataras Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then after that you didn't remember so much the Hataras Nedarim, and you kept giving the Meiser, right? Then it's b'li neder. And even though for many things Hataras Nedarim does not help, but for something like this, b'di'evad you can be somech that it's as if you said b'li neder, and you can start to do what I told you, that minig, and rely on the Hataras Nedarim of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Right, also, when you make up your mind to fulfill this minig, you should make a condition that you can give it whenever you want, without any time constraints, because again, if you're bound by the halachas of Meiser, then we'll see that there are specific times when you have to give it or whatever. And if you don't, you're over another issue. A baltacher, a delay. But if you, when you set this up, right, since it's only a minig, you can do it any way you want. You can say there's no time constraints on it, I'll give it when I can, when I want, or whatever. Okay. Another thing you should say when you start out or you restart this inyan is that the monies that you're separating should not be considered tzedakah monies until the ani gets it. So then the problem is if you lose it or whatever, it makes things much easier.
Left.
Yeah.
What about using as part of your mice here?
Okay, that we're not going into now. That's when we get to that. What you can use it for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to give the money by performing a service to somebody.
What? Well, we'll see. That's right now. We just spoke about how to take what take off. We have what yet to learn of what's it called, what you have to take off of, right? Not just the amount. That's the next year, and then what you can give it to. Right, how you can give out the miser, and you have to take it off of what's it called? If you give people services, can you count that as miser? What's it called? Time, right? That for you translates into money. We'll see. Those are all the details of the next three or four different subtopics that we'll speak about. Okay.